From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 24th day of September 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel, the Senior Grains Analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, an official letter of complaint has been delivered to the U.S. Trade Representative regarding farm subsidies and U.S. economic policy. It comes from Brazil. The American Farm Bureau Federation is asking legislators to roll back the capital gains tax on farmland. And the Parliament of Russia has decided to indefinitely reduce the income tax on farmers to zero. Or at least, they're in the process of considering the possibility. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour. And then we'll take a look at this week's quarterly grain stocks report. It's due out Friday morning. And of course, as we close out the program, we'll talk with Chesapeake Energy up in Chicago, Illinois, about the agricultural weather forecast on this Monday afternoon. It is the 24th day of September.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood and Paul Stevens of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123.
Well, in Chicago, on a Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract for the soft red winter wheat, that's December, at $8.92, down 5 1/4. The harvest month, July of next year, was down 7 cents at $8.64 1/2. The hard red in Kansas City gained 6 1/2 cents to settle at $9.75 a cent. Back in Chicago from the corn pit, nearby December futures, the harvest at 7.45 3/4, 2 1/2 cents lower. The March at 7.49 1/4, down 1 1/3 pennies. And May corn at 7.46, 3 3/4 lower. July 7.39, down 3 1/4 cents. And the September futures of next year down 4 3/4 at 6.60 1/4. Next year's December at 6.34 1/4, down 5 1/4. November bean futures $16.11, down 10 3/4. January down 11 at 16.11. March beans 15.71, 8 1/2 lower. And the May contract at $15.18 3/4 a bushel, down 7 1/4. July futures in the bean pit $15 even, finished 7 1/4 lower. And next year's November at 13.52 1/4, down 1 1/3 pennies. Bean meal at $4.81.60, down $2.90, and the bean oil at $53.81, 64 cents lower for the day. Live cattle at 125.30 in the October, 22 1/2 lower, and the feeders at 143.70 to 7 1/2, down 2 1/2 cents. Lean hogs were up 70 cents. This is the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures for the day. November contract, $91.90, down 99 cents. The RBOB gasoline at $2.91 7/10, that's 2 1/2 cents lower. Ethanol at $2.25 3/10, 7/10 of a cent lower. And the natch in the ethanol again at $2.25 3/10 is down 7/10 of a cent. The spread between the two is 66 1/2 cents. That's 1 1/7 pennies lower than the Friday close, but still 66 1/2 cents to the positive side. So the use of ethanol is in play. Natural gas, October contract at $2.84 4/10, down 4 1/10 of a cent. And the heating oil at $3.09 6/10, down 2 4/10. Gold futures on the afternoon at $1,762.20 an ounce, down $13.40, and the dollar at 79.52. That's up 0.19 for the day. The CRB index now stands at 305.96, down 302 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area yet this afternoon. Sunny skies, a high of 71 degrees on a southwest wind, 11 to 13, gusting to 21. Tonight, a 40% chance of showers and thunderstorms. That comes after 1 a.m. in the morning, central time, mostly cloudy. A low of 53. Tuesday, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms throughout the day, mostly cloudy. A high of 75 degrees Tuesday night. That 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms continues. It'll be mostly cloudy. And a low of 60 degrees Wednesday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Then partly sunny, a high of 76 degrees Wednesday night, cloudy and 52 Thursday, partly sunny and 71. Thursday night, mostly cloudy and a low of about 52 one more time. And Friday, partly sunny, a high near 72. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of this half hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. It is the 24th day of September. On the phone line with us is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. He serves as their senior grains analyst. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Farmers telling you that they're moving quickly with their corn harvest?
Yeah, the movement is, you know, very quick pace. Guys on south have wrapped up corn. You know, as we move further north here, it's been fairly aggressive. Yields all over the place. Continue to hear a little bit better yields as we move along in here. So I imagine this afternoon's planting progress is going to show another good jump. We think corn's probably 45% done as a nation, and beans are in this 20-25% complete here. Not a whole lot of bean activity until this weekend here, and I think there'll be pretty rapid bean progress here as long as the moisture sort of holds off.
It may be interesting to watch the harvest pressure lessen up as we get to the 50% harvested point for corn. And the quarterly grain stocks report, which is due out at the end of the week, come out kind of about the same time, I would think.
Yeah, we're going to have the numbers here this afternoon give us where we're at. Stocks report here at the end of the week. Then we'll have a new supply-demand balance sheet here as we move in October. So we're going to continue to see all kinds of different numbers continue to flow into the marketplace here. Surprisingly, in some areas, basis is hanging in there. Some areas are seeing some of this grain move out of the elevator as fast as it moves into it. So it tells us end users are stepping up in here and trying to gather some inventory here as we go through harvest.
Are producers worried very much that they'll be wanting to sell across the scale, but that the price of either soybeans or corn has some upwards momentum left in it?
Well, right now the biggest fear is aflatoxin and the fear of putting in the bin. So a lot of the grain's been, from here south particularly, has been moved to the elevator or sold across the scale, just getting rid of it. When you look at the overall price, it's still a good price no matter what basis is doing. As long as the individual hasn't really oversold and has grain to market, it isn't too bad. But as you sort of hinted on there, the number one strategy for guys is looking at some optimism down the road, put some replacement on paper. The market's wanting the grain now. And you can be rewarded by moving the grain now than re-owning it in a deferred month where you've got some ownership in case the southern hemisphere sees adverse growing conditions here this winter. Also, too, there's still uncertainty whether we're going to get the wheat needed out of the Black Sea area. And also, too, the world economy still remain a little bit question mark, but they would perk up here this winter and investment money come back in. There could be some more gains to the upside here as we move down the road.
As we started our conversation, you mentioned that yields for corn and beans both were coming in maybe a little better than expected. The further north the harvest made its way, what kind of yields are you hearing for both?
For the most part, a little better. I mean, it's later, and as you move north in here, if you've watched the radar maps this summer like about everybody did, you saw a little bit more green activity to the north, and we've heard bean yields in this 30 bushel, clear up to 60 bushel. Corn-wise, we've been hearing some, 180, 200 bushel marks, at the upper end, that is. There's some areas that missed some rain that's not quite as good as that. But for the most part, producers were expecting the worst conditions possible from not only, their particular area, but every night you sit down and watch the nightly news or the Weather Channel, they had the drought and pictures well advertising the worst case scenario.
The analytical company Informa released some numbers Friday afternoon showing both corn and soybeans with additional acres based off what they expect FSA will show in the October crop production numbers and WASDE reports that come out from USDA. What do you think about those numbers?
Well, it's been well talked about for some time. It's kind of frustrating when you trade the market and don't have that information when you expect to have it. It seems though you would have that those numbers quite a while back. But for the most part, ideas are, you know, a few more acres. And they came out expecting more acres next year, you know, with the idea that you know, weather could cooperate here this winter. And with these higher prices, there won't be a whole lot of ground not put into some type of quarter bean rotation.
While I saw the acreage figures, I heard but did not see their ending stocks figure. Although I suspect it was still pretty small. Is that right?
When you look at the big picture, it's going to remain probably where most analysts feel pipeline supplies is going to be, fairly close to that. You come in with more acres, more production, then you got to add demand back to it. So it's kind of a moving target or a balancing act. The overall big picture tells us we're going to remain relatively tight clear in to next summer, and that's going to be whatever they feel the pipeline number is.
Pipeline tells you that prices should remain strong for corn?
Should hold firm. It's not suggesting we're going to $9, $10 or $20 on the beans. It suggests that breaks are going to be well supported as end users come in and get some coverage on any type of price break.
Anything else to add on the livestock side?
The hog markets had a dynamic rallying through here. Producers on the meat side are a little bit more encouraged with the $8 corn not really reality right now and some higher prices. So we're seeing a little bit more positive thinking on the meat side there, Todd.
Thank you so much.
All right.
That's Kirk Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Monday afternoon to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets. You can always hear Kurt again if you'd like off our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report to the closing market report, everything in between too. One other place you can get the markets from us, just dial this number, 217-333-3434. That's 333-3434. We update it with a bit of analysis in either the opening numbers from the open outcry pit, that is, or the closing numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade. That happens each and every business day of the year. Dave Dickey, your Director of Agricultural Programming, will be here in just a couple of minutes, a couple of seconds, actually, to take a look at the agricultural newscast for the afternoon.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgro on-demand bulk soybean handling system.
In agricultural news, Brazil's foreign minister is slamming U.S. farm subsidies and massive monetary expansion in a frank and critical letter to U.S. Trade Representative Ron Kirk. The letter is in response to a similar critical letter sent by Kirk to the Brazilian government last week. The U.S. letter dealt with recent Brazilian tariff hikes deemed harmful to U.S. exports. This year's U.S. Farm Bill, in particular, has become a bone of contention between the two countries since it maintains some of the cotton subsidies ruled illegal in a 2009 case by the World Trade Organization. Russia's parliament is in the process of approving changes to the country's tax code that would set a zero rate of income tax for farmers. Under the amendment, the zero tax rate would be in effect indefinitely. Without the measure, the income tax rate was set to increase to 18%. Separately, Russia's grain union has announced that the country's agriculture ministry plans to support farmers with payments for every acre of land they work in order to ease their membership into the World Trade Organization. The American Farm Bureau Federation is calling on the two congressional tax writing committees to reduce, in the short term, the federal capital gains tax for farmers who sell agricultural land term and to eliminate the tax code for all Americans at some point in the future. In letters to the House Ways and Means and Senate Finance Committees, the organization says a current capital gains tax of 15% already makes farmers reluctant to sell their operations. North Korea's new leadership is calling for a new policy that would allow North Korean farmers who have long been required to turn most of their crops over to the state to be allowed to keep their surplus food to sell or barter. The proposed directive appears aimed at boosting productivity at collective farms that have struggled for decades to provide for the country's 24 million people. Farmers currently must turn everything over to the state beyond what they are allowed to keep for their families. Kellogg officials say it has agreed to a joint venture with Wilmar International Limited for the manufacture, sale, and distribution of cereal and snacks in China. Kellogg officials say that China's snack food market alone is expected to reach an estimated $12 billion by year-end, up 44% from 2008. The joint venture company will be based in Shanghai, China. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Don't forget to visit us online at willag.org. You can find all of our agricultural programming there, from the pre-opening to the closing market report and everything in between, including our Commodity Week program, our weekend look at what happened in the world of agriculture. By the way, Bill Lapp was our guest over the weekend, and if you have not listened to that program just yet, go back and take a listen. It's really worthwhile. Commodity Week is available on our website at willag.org. Now up next, this Friday, USDA will release the final quarterly grain stocks report concerning last year's fall harvest. As you'll hear, the drought this year, along with the early planting season, has made it especially difficult to discern just how many bushels of corn might be left over from last season. Every 3 months, the National Agricultural Statistics Service, or NAS, releases a grain stocks report. It's an estimate of how much grain is on hand in the nation and a guidepost by which end users of grain adjust consumption patterns. You can read that as set price. Well, the tally is taken December 1st, March 1st, June 1st, and September 1st. This year, the September report is expected to show more corn left over from last year than might have been expected. University of Illinois Ag economist Earl Good says the drought this season, coupled with a really early planting date for the corn crop, means part of the 2012 crop was in the bin before the September 1st counting. And it's quite likely, given the choice between using last year's corn and that fresh out of the field, that end users opted for the new. The difficult part is figuring out just how much new corn was used instead of old corn. That old corn will show up in the September quarterly grain stocks report due out Friday, says Darrell Good.
It seems likely that new crop corn available before September 1 this year was about 600 million bushels larger than the availability of a year ago.
Last year, most years, about 300 million bushels of corn are harvested prior to September 1. This year, that number is three times that big, or about 900 million bushels, of which a third, 300 million bushels, Darrell Good thinks based on consumption data, has already been used by the marketplace.
The implication is that at least one-third of the crop harvested before September 1 was used in place of old crop corn.
That's about 300 million bushels to be moved around on the balance sheet. Put into perspective, 300 million bushels was about half of what USDA had projected to be left over from last year's corn harvest prior to mid-September. That is to say, it's definitely enough to be a market mover.
The September 1 estimate of old crop corn stocks can have important price implications in some years, particularly when stocks are relatively small and the new crop is also expected to be small, like this year. This year, however, the market will have some difficulty interpreting the stocks number, as it will reflect both the total magnitude of consumption during the quarter and the degree of substitution of new crop for old crop during August, without revealing the magnitude of either. That mystery will be at least partially solved with the December 1 stocks estimate to be released in January 2013.
Solved then, but priced by the futures market Friday morning. For the University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's Monday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. On the phone line, Amy Murray from the Andersons right here in Champaign County to take up the cash grain market. Good afternoon to you, Amy.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about basis for corn and how it's been acting.
Well, we've seen things back off and weaken for about the past week and a half here. I think really what you're seeing there is we're getting a lot of harvest pressure. Everything is moving this fall. You know, even with a short crop, we're seeing it come to market in the fall as opposed to any type of deferreds. Not very much getting put in the bin. So that's pressuring our markets at this point, and it's pretty weak.
Can you expect that to strengthen fairly quickly then as we get past the 50% harvested mark? And I would think that might be happening in our area really soon.
Oh, yes. I think we'd say we're there. I think we'd say we're closer to 60-70% in our immediate draw. But we are expecting harvest progress reports to show 50% done on corn tonight. I think when you're really going to see it strengthen is come this winter, you know, when there is a lack of supply in the cash market, you know, basis levels are going to have to improve, in my opinion.
As you have been listening to farmers, not only from your part of the draw area, but maybe further to the north, what do you hear about their yields? Are they getting that much better?
You know, it's been really across the board. We've had some yields that have been very surprisingly good, but still yet those that are even more disappointed than anticipated. I guess I think overall, you know, the expectation of where yields would be at probably as an average altogether is probably pretty close.
What's your average moisture content for corn coming in?
We're still looking at 18.5%, 19%.
So not too bad. How about for beans? Are you bringing in many beans at this time?
A few. We just dumped a few loads yesterday, and they were anywhere from 11.5% to 13% of what we saw. You know, that's what actually came into the elevator. So pretty good moisture levels.
And what kind of yields on them, do you know?
Actually, those have been better than expected. Anywhere from really 45 to 60 has been the common number that's been thrown around for the few fields that have been harvested at this point.
And soybeans in the last week took a really big hit in the marketplace in the futures. How about on the cash basis?
Cash basis has weakened, still not as drastically as what corn has seen in the past few weeks, but again, we're just now getting started into soybean harvest.
Your expectations there as we move through the month of October?
You know, I guess I'd wait till this winter again, too, to see those really get a backbone and start to improve as well.
Your bids for the dime?
We are at 757 for fall-delivered corn, 769 for January, and 608 for next fall 2013. Cash beans are at 1602, Jan beans at 1611, fall 2013 at 1312, cash wheat is at 862, and new crop July 13 is at 839.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is Amy Murray. She's with the Andersons right here in Champaign County. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report for this Monday afternoon. I'll be back in just a couple minutes. We'll take a look at the agricultural weather forecast with folks up at Chesapeake Energy. They're in Chicago, Illinois, looking down from the 23rd floor of the Boeing building. This is willag.org from Illinois Public Media.
Leonard Seed Service supports agricultural programs as an additional service to its customers. Leonard Seed Service is an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers throughout East Central Illinois via the Asgrow on-demand bulk soybean handling system. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
It's National Cherries Jubilee Day. The dessert that today is made with cherries, liquor, and vanilla ice cream was first served at one of Queen Victoria's Jubilee celebrations. The Queen was reportedly partial to cherries. The original dish, though, didn't contain ice cream, but was meant to accompany venison, especially red deer or roebuck. On this day in agricultural history in 1870, George Claude was born. A French engineer, he invented the neon light. He first displayed the new light on December 10th of 1910 in Paris. The first U.S. firm to take advantage of the neon sign, was a Packard car dealership in Los Angeles. In 1911, Earl Ovington became the first airmail pilot. His first load included 640 letters and 1,280 postcards, all tucked on the plane floor between his legs. In 1920, Mickey Rooney was born, one of our favorite Rooney roles as Shocky Carter in Hoosier Schoolboy. In the film, Mickey plays a farm boy who sticks by his alcoholic father and is helped by a teacher in getting his dad a job driving a milk truck. And in 1923, Nancy Green died. She was hired to represent and demonstrate Aunt Jemima Pancake Mix. At the 1893 Columbian Exposition in Chicago, the exhibit was so popular that police had to control the crowds at the Aunt Jemima booth. Fair officials awarded her a medal and proclaimed her Pancake Queen. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
This is the Closing Market Report. It's a Monday. Time to check the weather forecast. On the phone line with us, Mark Russo at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And over the weekend, fall arrived, and we had lots of cold temperatures, I think, around the Midwest.
Yeah, we certainly had some unseasonably cool temperatures across the Corn Belt. That did result in some frost in some of the low-lying areas here in the Midwest, particularly parts of northwestern Illinois, north-central Illinois, even over in Iowa. Minnesota saw some frost here. Again, if crop hadn't been so advanced here, that could have been an issue here if we had a late crop to the season, but that was certainly not the case. And now the question gets asked, it seems to be cool weather going to continue here for quite some time, and the answer to that is no. In fact, we see temperatures rebounding to warmer than normal levels here across the Corn Belt and Illinois here by the end of this week, and that continues through all of next week. So certainly the cold is brief and warmer temperatures to resume.
And showers on the way, though?
Activity here will be starting up across Illinois as we go into tomorrow, primarily across north-central areas of the state and into Indiana as well. But this is going to take place here basically tomorrow, wrapping up on Wednesday. And that really looks to be the only rain activity here during the week and even potentially in the next week as well.
How isolated is that rain activity? You sound hesitant that it's very widespread.
Well, it's going to be more kind of concentrated in the zone here across central Illinois and into central Indiana, kind of on the edge of a frontal boundary that will be stalled out across the region there. So if you're in that zone, you look to get decent rains, but outside of that zone, only, you know, you're talking even only a few miles here outside the zone here, you basically get nothing.
Inside the zone, how much rainfall?
Well, your maximum totals could get upwards to an inch and a half. I guess in general, an average would be about half to three-quarters of an inch can be expected.
And you expect, what, 50, 60% coverage or less?
For the state of Illinois, I expect coverage at about 45 to 50% of the state. Again, concentrated more so central part of the state.
Okay, and then look into next week and tell me about it, please.
Yeah, well, temperatures continue to be warmer than normal, and generally dry conditions are expected as we go into week two of the forecast.
And in South America, what do you see?
Well, they're starting off in good shape across Argentina as well as in Brazil. Argentina's been on the active side here of late, and that's boosted soil moisture reserves. Now, while they're unseasonably cold at the present time, we do not see cold weather being a threat to winter crop development as well as we start the new summer crop planting season. And in Brazil, they're seeing an increase in rain across much of the western and southern acreage. Very timely, and that bodes well, again, to a very timely start to the planting season over the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Thanks so much, Mark.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Chesapeake Energy. I'm Todd Gleason. That's the Closing Market Report.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.